if you couple that with the idea of the Anthropocene, i.e. some new geological epoch constituted by the degree of effect that we have on a natural environment, then it seems to me that the death of nature and the Anthropocene sit ill at ease one with another. So the death of nature does not presuppose, so to speak, the production of an Anthropocene, but rather follows just if all geological epochs are at some terminus, if they come to an end. That, it doesn't seem to me, is what is at issue in, let's say, environmental crises. What seems at issue is precisely nature not coming to an end, but fundamentally changing. So the anxiety concerning a lot of the environmental crisis concerns, in fact, the preservation. It's a preservation anxiety concerning the Anthropocene. And this is typical. It's not merely in the language. I think this is typical of let's say, reflection concerning nature in the sciences and philosophy throughout, well, for the last 200 years, since the 18th century. The conflation of one part of nature with the whole of nature gives rise to various false accounts. And my work in philosophy of nature, for example, is entirely devoted to undermining that conflation. Yeah, this seems to be what the issue is, in which case I'm not sure that the degree of crisis accurately reflects an account of nature, but rather reflects an account, let's say, of civilization. So it's a profoundly anthropic anxiety, in other words. The future of the species seems not only uncertain, but more or less certainly threatened by its own actions. Certainly, insofar as we stay, say, here, if there is a future for the Anthropocene, it's unlikely to be a new geological epoch, but it might well be an extraplanetary one. Well, even I think there's some fascinating problems wrapped up in the very idea of an end of nature. So if we assume some big crunch at the conclusion to which there is zero information, there is simply no universe any longer of any sort, this is, let's say, a conceivable event, some environment from which it can happen, or in which it does in fact happen. If there is such an environment, then it follows that the end of nature has occurred. If there is such an environment, then the end of nature is not possible. So it strikes me, where there are ends of nature, these are local phenomena within a larger context. And I think this is key to not merely an understanding of nature as far as it is, let us say, this realm out there that is beyond our prejudices, but is key also if we're to understand how it is we might even remotely model nature, we might even remotely understand it, such that we can place, as it were, ends of nature within it. That model allows, as it were, for an understanding of ends of nature as frequently occurrent, and therefore of crises as frequently occurrent. But they allow us also to think of those crises as not being, let's say, as local as we do currently think them, specifically with regard to environmental issues. A definition of nature. Curiously, I was thinking about this yesterday in the course of teaching from René Thom, and I'd like to offer a perspective that he offers on the question of what nature is. If nature consists in morphogenesis and the consistency, let's say, of change. That is, not changes that are consistent one with another, but rather in the constancy of change occurring. Then the only credible way of modeling nature, that is, forming a theory of nature, is to do so in infinite dimensional space. and I find this an important step towards understanding, let's say, what nature is. So rather than populating nature with some objects and indeed some subjects, rather than considering nature, let's say, to be visually delivered to us, or rather than considering nature to be respondent to a particular model, it strikes me that where there are possibilities, these possibilities are precisely natural possibilities. In other words, if there are possibilities at all, they occur in nature. If this is so, then nature is never just itself. Or, in fact, I would prefer to say nature is never just itself. So either a very large-scale model in which it doesn't make sense to specify the character of nature as though it is some object, or a very local model in which any characterization of what nature is would be contingent upon precisely the change that is the one constant in it. I think we're pointing to the death of certain contents of nature in a given state. So the elimination of certain natural products. But as we were saying earlier, this is not a new occurrence. In other words, this has happened before and will happen again. We should expect it, although its predictability is, of course, a different matter. So, I don't know, I'm anxious to become, I suppose, a little more concrete. So perhaps I might offer the following as an account of nature that might clarify or provide a basis for responses to the issue you've just raised. So, let's say that nature is that environment in which whatever occurs does so. So that where there are, let's say, deaths of nature and so forth, they occur as components, as elements, as local phenomena within that nature. Mm-hmm. That seems to me to provide a basis for thinking about, you know, what, not only what the death of nature means, but how, in fact, we might conceive it as occurring. Or indeed as having occurred. There have been deaths of nature previously. The dinosaur killers and so forth destroy a certain version of nature. It's almost like it's more helpful to consider nature as assassinating its predecessors. You know, although I don't want to turn naturalism into a species of psychoanalysis mm-hmm. and suggest that nature is fundamentally Oedipally disposed towards its precursors. And this is the virtue I find precisely in Schelling's account. So, like what I was mentioning earlier concerning, you know, infinite dimensions of possibility and so forth being the only credible basis upon which to model all of what nature is, Schelling too has it that the product is a local state of a system that is fundamentally disinterested in the product, since the only alternative to that is that products are eternal fundamentally. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there are many philosophers who have helped us to think that in the manner that Schelling has. Mm-hmm.